Good morning. Take out from your bulletins the sermon notes, and there's a big blank space and hopefully some pencils that are still sharp in the rows there. I know a bunch of them got picked up and we're going to be taken to be sharpened, but that's by next week. So if you got a pen in your purse or your bag or your wallet or your briefcase or whatever you're carrying with you, go ahead and take that out. Childlike faith. Childlike faith. What qualities does a child have? What are some of the qualities of a child? Well, I took a list from someone that was thinking about this, and they said that among them are these things. A child is innocent. A child, in general, is trusting. A child believes without complication. A child has not had time to allow the preconceived notions of the world to form his decision-making process. A child receives with joy, forgetting him, herself, or herself with light-hearted abandonment. A child is humble. A child is content in the little things. A child has faith to move mountains. A child is awed by majestic splendor. And a child takes to heart God's word in all of its simplicity. If there was one prayer for us this next year, it would be that we would have childlike faith. Because God can do amazing things in that fertile ground of childlike faith. Let me pray again, and then we'll go into the passage. Lord, you have brought us here today. And childlike faith says it wasn't the car or the metro or some other means that got us here, even though that may be obvious to us. It was really you directing our steps, you calling to us, even if we don't always recognize your voice. You bring us here this day to hear you, to see you, to experience you, and to trust you. I pray for my friends here that we would be your friends, that we would have intimate fellowship with you, and that we would enjoy you the way a child enjoys someone that they love and trust. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we continue the series that we've been in for quite a while now through the Gospel of Mark. And we're at chapter 10. You know, I ended kind of just before Christmas, you know, before the Advent series, with a passage in which Jesus is confronted by the religious leaders. They are trying to trick him on a topic of divorce. You know, they're manipulating words and manipulating situations. But Jesus skirts around it and just points to the holiness of God, the holiness of marriage, and the fact that he wants to build a forever relationship, not only in marriage, but really a forever relationship with us. So he points us to that. And his disciples take him aside, and they end up in a house somewhere, probably in Capernaum. It doesn't really say exactly, but you know, the indication, it's probably, you know, it could be Simon Peter's house, a place where Jesus and his disciples have been a number of times. And his disciples ask him some more questions about divorce and about marriage in the kingdom. And they're asking him these questions because they're curious. They want to know the answers. And suddenly into the house come crowds of people, parents and little children. Let's read about it now in the passage that's up there on the screen. And it's actually not the one that's in your bulletin. That's the New International Version. But what I have up there is a version called The Message, which is on the front of your whole bulletin here for you to take home. The people brought children to Jesus, hoping he might touch them. You know, in that context, rabbis would lay hands on children and just bless them, pronounce a blessing upon them. The disciples shooed them off, but Jesus was irate and let them know it. Don't push these children away. Don't ever get between them and me. These children are at the very center of life in the kingdom. Mark this. Unless you accept God's kingdom in the simplicity of a child, you will never get in. Then, gathering the children up in his arms, he laid his hands of blessing on them. He laid his hands of blessing on them. Next slide is actually a picture of the New York City subway system. How many of you have been to New York and ridden the subways before? Was it a pleasant experience? Takes a little challenge, takes a little faith sometimes. A little bit more confusing than the DC subway system, and people are in a rush going all around. Well, there was a story a few years ago about love being expressed in the middle of that impersonal subway system. Let's go to the next slide. This is a photo that went into the internet for a while. It went viral. And the photo was written about by this one author, by Reuven Blau in the New York Daily News. He said this, "This stranger's shoulder has become an internet sensation. Oscar Isaac Thiel, age 65, was on his way home to the Kensington section of Brooklyn on the Q train when an unidentified man fell asleep on his shoulder for more than a half an hour. Another rider was amazed at the scene, a black man sleeping on the shoulder of a white man wearing a Jewish yarmulke. So he gently asked if he wanted help to wake the slumbering stranger. Thiel responded in this way, "He had a long day, so let him sleep. We've all been there." The other rider captured the moment with a quick cell phone picture, and then he posted it online with a brief explanation. That picture and caption went viral. One Facebook user said, "There's still hope in humanity." Another one said, "I don't see a black man and a Jewish man. I see two people." Thiel, an Orthodox Jew, was surprised by all the attention, and there was a lot of it thanks to social media. In fact, hours after the picture was posted, Thiel got a call from his sister, Pam Russ, who lives in Montreal, Canada, and saw the photo online. She was the first person to call and tell me how proud she was of me. His phone has been ringing constantly with messages from friends and family as far away as Israel. He said these words, "I just kept steady so he would be able to sleep." It wasn't easy to do so because he was dead weight. It really wasn't about the ethnicity of people, he told a news reporter. It was just more that New Yorkers, especially in the subway, don't want to touch people or have them get in their personal space. That was striking to me and made me smile, and I thought it was a nice gesture. And this is actually from someone who was reading about it or saw it. The identified man wasn't able to doze the whole ride because at some point Thiel had to get up and get off at his stop at Newkirk Avenue. Thiel says, "I didn't want to scare him awake. I turned around to look at him, and he was dazed." Has that ever happened to you? Any hands? It has. So you fell asleep, and somebody woke you up. Did you fall asleep on him? Oh, okay. Yeah, he saw and he knew where you needed to get off. Okay, so there was a kindness there. Well, the point of that story was this, is that at the end of the passage, you know, we see Jesus embracing, cuddling these children. You know, they asked for a blessing to put their hands upon them. But really, Jesus embraced them, let them just cuddle into his arms. And if you imagine this picture of us needing a place to rest, Jesus says, "Come to me like little children. Let me give you rest. Let me embrace you." It's a very simple message today. To be a childlike follower of Christ means simply to go to Jesus with trust, curiosity. Now, It doesn't mean you don't have questions. If you've ever taken care of children or think about when you were a child, you know, did you know that the average child states about 200 questions a day to just one parent? They're always asking about, what about this? What about this? What does this mean? What is that? When you go to someone you trust, it's okay to ask questions. Sometimes we think childlike faith just keeps its mouth shut. But God says, come to me. Rest on me. Pour out your heart. Give me what it is that you're questioning. And let me be your answer. Sometimes what happens when we grow older is we lose the ability to even talk with God and to pour out our questions. Sometimes we go in a particular mode and we're just used to sitting perhaps stiff next to God in the seat next to us, but not leaning on him. Christians, childlike faith is meant to lean upon the Lord, to trust him, to love him. Let's look at that passage again. Now, this is the New International Version, but I want to point out something there. You know, these people, again, were bringing children to Jesus to have him touch them. But the disciples did what? They rebuked him. The word behind this, the Greek word behind them, is not just, you know, oh, stop, don't go. It's continuous, loud, intrusive rebuking. Get out of here. He doesn't want to be with you. The disciples are answering and keeping away these children because they're crowding all around. They want privacy. But Jesus responds in what way? He responds with the word, it says here, indignant. In the other version, it said irate. It is the strongest word used for anger when Jesus responds to his disciples. No other place in Scripture is this word used. Strong anger against his disciples because they were hindering childlike faith. They were stopping those who wanted his blessing, who wanted to trust in him. So I have two simple lessons for us to take with us today. Next slide. The first is this. Humble childlike faith loves to pray and play. And praying is intimate communication, leaning upon the Lord. It's not just reading off a list, but a child loves to communicate with someone that they love and who they know loves them. So one of the strongest indications of how we're doing in being Christians with a childlike faith is how intimate is our prayer life. How often are we talking to the Lord? We know we're supposed to talk with the Lord all the time, but how conscious are we of him? Do we see him as someone who loves us and accepts us through faith in him? Or are we keeping it at arm's length? This year, think seriously if there are any obstacles that perhaps you're setting up for yourself and hindering yourself from coming to the Lord. How can you get rid of them? Enjoy God. Pray. And play. You know, for a child, playing with someone that they love just comes naturally. You know, if you've ever babysitted little children, they'll come up to you and say, you know, can you play with me? Because they spell love, P-L-A-Y. If you spend time with them, if you want to enjoy them. And if I think about that, as a Christian, we're meant to have just kind of an abandoned faith. Now, we talk about life and death issues as Christians. You know, it's about heaven and hell and being able to be disciples and disciple makers. But there needs to be underneath it an abandoned joy, a willingness to enjoy God, communicate with him, and enjoy life that he's given to us. You know, I have a phrase that I've been thinking about for our church and one that I would hope that we'd be able to adopt, the church that loves to play. You know, we go downstairs and we have these lunches afterwards, and you know, sometimes because of language barriers, we have some difficulties communicating among the congregations. And we have people, and you know, food is a great conduit for conversation. But what if we If some of us, you know, hopefully will be willing to do this. What if you bring some of your toys to church? Okay, now, no adults don't like to admit they have toys, you know, but what if you have a game or something that you want to share, some pictures? Find ways to build relationships, to play with one another and enjoy God and enjoy one another. What if after service, during the time of fellowship, we actually gathered with people who perhaps don't speak our particular language, you know, the Cantonese or the Mandarin congregation, and you play a game that doesn't require a language-intensive effort, not Scrabble, by the way, you know, maybe Jenga or some other game like that. But bring something to enjoy. Visitors, guests, other people here. We enjoy playing. Enjoy the laughter that God has given to us. What if in building childlike faith, we let our laughter lead us to prayer, natural prayer with one another? Every week we have in the bulletin these things, these lists of prayer. And a lot of work goes into listing these prayers in the bulletin. And some of you take that seriously. You pray through this. You put it into your Bibles. But what if you get together with somebody over lunch and during the week and say, hey, you know, I want to enjoy God and I want to enjoy fellowship. Why don't we get together and pray for some of these things together? Why don't you share with me what it is that you're celebrating and one thing that you're struggling with? Small groups in the church are meant to do that. You know, and if some of you are involved in small groups where you gather together with other believers, but a lot of folks oftentimes will come to service on a Sunday and they kind of isolate themselves the rest of the week. They're just in their own world. Christians were meant to enjoy fellowship with God and with one another. Enjoy. Join a small group. And if you don't know how, or if there's no small group near you, perhaps you'd be willing to be trained as a small group leader. That's one of the goals for this year, is to develop more small groups that would be in different geographical locations around the city and the area around us, where people can gather at someone's home, celebrate, have a meal, read the scriptures together, play, and pray. So look for opportunities. We'll be giving you those opportunities as time comes up over the next several months. Start a small group, host a small group, you know, just be a part of the fellowship that God wants us to have. Play and pray. But one other lesson for us, which is a stern one, is the lesson that the disciples learned. Humble childlike faith encourages others toward praying and playing freely with the Lord. It doesn't hinder. We have children here who are beginning to grow in their trust of the Lord. Are we hindering them in any way? You know, we say we have a Sunday school class, but how many are willing to be a part of interacting with the kids, helping them and answering their questions? You know, there's always a need there for others to help with Sunday school. And in teaching, you learn often. But it doesn't mean you have to be a Sunday school teacher to be someone who is helping children toward the Lord. If someone walks in who doesn't know Jesus and is curious, like a childlike curiosity, and they're an adult, how do you interact with them? Do you, who know Jesus, do you just isolate and just say, oh, I'll keep them at arm's length? Or do you let them lean into you a little bit? Are you willing to risk and build a relationship? Love in a church is contagious. You know, we just had a series called The Contagious Christian, you know, becoming a contagious Christian in our Sunday school. Part of the frontier for CCC this year is to really seek how we can be disciples, be disciple makers, and welcome others and not hinder them from hearing the truth of God. One of the things that's really great about our church is we have such a long history. But is our history also our future? God's future may not always match what our history is. God's future is always pushing the envelope, stretching us, helping us to learn how to love and share the gospel. So, I want to encourage you to find ways to grow in learning how to share the good news of Christ and not hinder those who are coming, adults or children. Find ways to listen to questions that people are asking. Pour your own questions out to the Lord. Seek to love one another the way God says He loves us, the way He embraces us. Not a big theological message today, but if we put this into practice, the world changes all around us. Love, God's love, changes everything. Let's pray. Lord, we ask for your grace to be poured out upon us more and more. Help us to overcome adult cynicism and jaded faith. Help us to remember what it is, what it means to fall into your arms, to be embraced by you, to let us lean upon your shoulders. I pray for this family gathered here today, these friends, that you would show each of us the pathway through to full-hearted faith in the kingdom. I pray for those specifically with great gifts, strengths, intellectual prowess. I pray that you would work in the midst of that so that our own gifts and strengths would not hide you from our sight, that we don't rely on ourselves and our own intellects, but rely instead upon the truth that has been proclaimed for generation after generation after generation among the wise and among the simple. Give us faith, Lord. Guide us. Help us. Grant us the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen.